This podcast is supported by Talkspace.
When my husband came home from his military deployment, readjusting was hard for all of us. Thankfully, I found Talkspace.
Talkspace provides professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatric providers online. Military members, veterans, and their dependents ages 13 and older can get fast access to providers, all from the privacy of their computers or smartphones.
I just answered a few questions online, and Talkspace matched me with a therapist. We meet when it's convenient for me, and I can message her anytime. It was so easy to set up, and they accept TRICARE. Therapy was going so well, my husband and I started seeing a couples therapist through Talkspace, too.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, including TRICARE. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com/military. Go to Talkspace.com/military to get started today. That's Talkspace.com/military.
For all in a go status,
ESPN 97.5, KFNC, Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gao Media station. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, hour number two of the big show. It is The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It's Barry, it's Nick, it's Joel, as we are rolling around and rolling through a Tuesday on the shoe. Also, still looking for that theme for tomorrow's Way Back Wednesday. I've been promised by certain individuals on this show that...
Mm-hmm.
By Barry.
3
yeah,
o'clock.
Barry's got it at 3.
Oh.
He's got it, yeah.
Just one more hole in the dike to plug in the show.
I'm not backing away from that comment, pal.
It was beautiful, actually.
Thank you.
Brought a tear to my eye.
Thank you. Yeah. Doing what I can.
I enjoyed it very much. All right, we had a question about compensatory picks. So, basically, they're going to get something, especially if they don't do much else. But it's based on the difference between the people you lose in free agency and the people you sign. So, there's a $20 million gap between Tayshaun Gibson and Tyrann Mathieu at the free safety spot. Tyrann Mathieu signed for 3 years and $42 million. They signed Tayshaun Gibson for 3 years and $22 million. That's $20 million difference.
Right.
The higher that number is in difference between the free agents, the higher your pick will be. Chances are they're going to get a third or a fourth round pick right now as it would stand for losing Tyrann Mathieu and signing Tayshaun Gibson. Depending on what they do at corner, then that would take care of Kareem Jackson. So, yeah, it's possible that they get a couple of – but that's not this draft. That's the 2020
right.
draft.
Correct.
They just announced not too long ago the 2019 draft. So, compensatory picks. So, you would have to wait another year to get those picks. And if you're the Texans, you know, the longer you wait, the more you're wasting J.J. Watt and some of these other cats that are getting older. They're getting a little long in the tooth, so
– and not to mention all of that, but again, you've got a huge decision on your hands coming up after this year, too, with Clowney. And if mm-hmm. you want to tie him up long-term, that's going to cost you a whole lot as well. And then you're tying up a ton of your cap room with two defensive linemen. You got tough decisions to make with Merciless and other guys that we've talked about on the defensive side of the ball. J-Joe is still getting older by the year.
Yeah.
That ain't going to change. Lots of stuff that they have to address. And again, there should have been a plan and a priority list because people were tweeting me and saying, well, you know, what do you think happened? I said, well, the biggest thing to me is that I don't know that they had an in-depth plan of plan A, plan B, plan C. Because I do know, having just been in the front office of a franchise, when you go into any of the football or basketball operations staff, their whiteboard is just completely separated by plan A, plan B, plan C. Free agency, draft-wise, just because they don't ever want to have to prepare for the unexpected. They want to be planning for and expecting anything could happen.
Makes sense.
Yeah, the better you're prepared you are, the better you're able to handle when something like yesterday happens. When you expect that, I think, at least one of those guys to... I think, basically, and am I far-fetched in saying this? I think Brian Gain thought that both those guys wanted to still be here and that he would get at least one of them back.
I don't think you're too far off in that. I think he thought, well, we won't lose both. We can probably throw enough at one of these guys. And... I mean, sometimes you don't have enough. I think that they also didn't want to overspend. I think they've got $60 million and they probably have a plan, like you said, but I don't know what it is because they didn't the first day and a half. And it might be, hey, look, sometimes cooler heads prevail and you got a bunch of people that come out early and throw money.
Right, like you talked about, yeah, the non-playoff teams.
And maybe they're like, we'll just let it settle. And you know what? If we can, you know, nab a top 15, top 20 free agent on day three at less value, then, hey, we're still getting a top 20 free agent. So I don't know. I think it's our job, obviously, to come on here and right. give our opinions on what's taken place so far. But if we were really being honest, but it would make for a boring show, it'd be like, hey, let's wait 2 weeks and then discuss it. But that makes for a boring show. No one wants to do that.
And the fans are antsy.
But yeah, but I think to be really honest with you, you got to wait a little longer to see how this all unfolds until you really make a decision on what they have or haven't done and how good or bad it's been.
And the biggest thing is the safety net, right? Because you're looking for a bargain, or you're hoping for at least a couple of players that remain out there that don't get the big money thrown at them right away.
Right.
Because a lot of these guys are going, look, I'd love to be with a contender, but when you throw a certain dollar amount at me,
yeah,
I have to take that.
Because I'm telling you right now, if they went out and signed Callahan, mm-hmm, at corner, and then maybe picked up, you know, somebody like I mentioned, what's his name from the Panthers? Was it Williams?
No.
Yeah, Darrell Williams. He's a tackle.
Oh, I thought you were. Oh, you're talking about offensive line. I thought you were looking at another secondary.
Yeah, no. If they signed the Darrell Williams offensive tackle, he's like 19th on the list of free agents, and they get Callahan as the top 10 guy. Then it's not bad. Then okay, yes, you lost Tyrann Mathieu. You replaced him with a guy that can cover as good, but we talked about his deficiencies. But that's okay, because you know, this team's deficiency last year too was in the secondary, was in coverage. So if you didn't get any worse, and maybe you add a better corner that's been better than any of the corners they had on the team last year in Callahan, and you got better on the offensive line, then you're starting to talk about this is a win.
Sure, because what you're doing is...
So that's why
is,
I say sometimes you have to wait.
From a defensive perspective, you're relying on the biggest strength, which is your front seven.
Right.
And you're also thinking that Clowney, again, with a contract year, because he's playing for that long-term deal, that he's going to step up big for you. You got JJ on the other side. So you're hoping that your front seven, again, continues to be your strength, and that maybe makes up a little bit with your pass rush and the pressure that you can put up there, makes up a little bit for what's going to go on in the back of the secondary. And like you get a better than serviceable guy,
yeah,
that can capitalize on playing with a front seven like that. Maybe it helps.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. They always tell you your pass rush makes your secondary look
right,
a lot better or a lot worse. Somebody, Aggie Joe, said, Barry, have you heard rumors about what teams might be pursuing Clowney? So he's obviously franchised, so he's not going anywhere this year. But I mean, some of the names that I saw in the past was like Detroit, but they just made a move. So
Flowers,
they're not doing that now. The Raiders still need a pass rusher because of the whole Khalil Mack issue.
It's another just that name, teams aren't really quick to part with two first rounders.
Yeah.
That's a high price tag for them when they realize in a year all signs are pointing for the Texans not going long-term big money, that
right,
they could just get him outright.
Right.
If they wait a year.
But, I mean, I would think right now the top of that list would be the Raiders.
You would and again, we've talked about this before, the fact that Gruden has always been extremely high on Clowney. At one point, he came out and said he should be in the neighborhood of what you pay a franchise quarterback in terms of his value and what he brings to the table. So if he's that high on him, I've said all along, if you can get two first-round picks for Clowney because you know in the back of your head you're not going to sign him long-term for the Khalil Mack, Aaron Donald-type money anyway, get the picks, move on. Find someone that can, again, fill the void, at least short-term, if not for long-term, and then you know, hope to draft somebody that can do more.
Yeah. Somebody texted and said, if you think Lamar Miller is a good back, something is up. Miller is average at best, and it's time to move on. Well, that's like your opinion, man.
Okay. So is his salary, average at best, based on the money that people
you're
are throwing
around? $5 million to get a guy that finished top 10 in rush, top 11 in rushing. I bet that same guy would have told you that James Conner is far better at
sure
running the ball than Lamar Miller. Far better. Way better.
Yeah, before you just jump off the handle quickly, look at the comparison Barry did when everybody was talking about Landon Collins, and then when he threw the Honey Badger in the comparison.
You're like, oh,
and everybody
crap
thought, well, Landon Collins, all pro three of the last 4 years. Got to be way head and shoulders above Tyrann Mathieu. No, absolutely not. The numbers showed they were parallel, and in some cases, Mathieu was better. So,
I mean, we could start to play a game who had more rushing yards, Lamar Miller or Melvin Gordon, Lamar Miller or David Johnson. I mean, Lamar Miller or Kareem Hunt, we could start to play that game. And I tell you, all three of those didn't have more than Lamar Miller.
Yeah, two of them had some issues.
Yeah.
One physically and one mentally.
Off the field.
Yeah.
Even guys like Tevin Coleman. I mean, he had 800 yards rushing. So, look, that's fine. You don't have to agree with my opinion. I'm just telling you that there were 10 guys that rushed for more yards than Lamar Miller in the entire NFL.
But was it your opinion or was it fact? When you're talking about facts, you're talking about numbers and you're talking about where he ranks within the league. That's not an opinion. That's fact, sir.
And Nick Chubb was 10th and had 23 more yards than Lamar Miller. It's not like he blew him out of the water either. So, again, Lamar Miller was 23 yards from being a top 10 running back in the NFL as far as rushing yards. And to Nick's point, behind that O-line.
And in some cases, just having a Nick Chubb makes a lot of people happy. So, I mean, that's one of the things you got to consider along
the
line.
Look, we're trying to keep it sportsy this segment.
All right, my bad. Okay.
Calm down with that.
So, carry on. We're keep it sportsy.
Somebody said way back Wednesday of songs that are just stupid ridiculous because of dumbass Brad and Hunter.
It's not bad.
We thought we had an impersonator earlier.
I know. I thought Brandon was Brad for a minute. I told Nick off air. I was like, look that up because that sounded like Brad from yesterday, but it wasn't.
It wasn't.
Brandon
close.
Calls pretty frequently,
but it sounded like Brad. Like I made Nick go back and listen, and he said their voices did sound very similar.
It was similar, yeah.
Yeah, all white guys sound alike.
Okay, that's why you don't sound like.
I'm gonna let you say that. I'm not. Everybody else stepping aside on that one.
Oh, I can't wait for the text and tweets now.
You just
stir it up,
lately,
don't I?
You just.
I don't care.
And then once you're knee deep in the minutiae, you're like, I don't get it. Why are they getting this?
Why is everyone so angry? What are people going to say about me that hasn't already been said? Really, at this point, I'm gonna start being like Russ. Let's fight.
Yeah, we need to get into that.
We do need to get into that.
That was something else. That's something that I woke up to and then started doing some research on and was like, well, first of all, he has a history in Utah.
Mm-hmm.
And he also has a history with fans, which he denied in his post-game press conference in terms of what he said. He hasn't necessarily been dinged with fines and suspensions so much, but he's had a couple of incidents. But when you start delving a little deeper and you look into the guy that actually got into the middle of this with him, there's two sides to every story, as we always say. And the other side is interesting as well. Let's put it that way.
It really is, because at first I was like, oh, that's not... My big thing was like, yo, why did he say the wife?
Yeah.
Why would you threaten a man's wife? That's too far. Even if the man...
Completely
even
agree.
If she's talking smack, even if, like, they, you know, whatever is racial, like... Oh, don't threaten a woman, though. I just feel like that was too far. But everything else, I'm on board with Russ about.
Yeah, we got to
get. With it.
We'll get into all of it next, because of the fact that it definitely is not going to go away, and it's going to be interesting how this whole thing plays out. Because there's not a lot that's going to lend itself to support to the fan when you start talking about some of the things that have been uncovered since it all went down last night in Salt Lake City. So we've got plenty more of that to get to, and if you want to get in here on that or something else, the phone lines are open on the HRNP listener line 713-780-3776. Call that number. Text that number. As always, we are available via text as well, tweet as well, at the producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, at Barry is funny. This is the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
I don't think it's fair to the players, not just to me, but I don't think it's fair to the players. And if I had to do it over again, I would say the same exact thing, because I truly will stand up for myself, for my family, for my kids, for my wife, for my mom, for my dad every single time. I expect anybody else to do the same.
So that was Russell Westbrook after the game. All right, and let me just kind of set the table for you of what we're dealing with here. Second quarter last night, Westbrook is not in the game. And there is a back and forth with him and a couple of fans. Right near the court, including a husband and wife. The audio is not really, it's inaudible for radio, but we can walk you through what happened. But basically an exchange happens between Westbrook and the guy of the couple.
He basically just threatened to whoop their bleeping asses over and over.
Yeah, and so he was dropping F-bombs, and he was basically, but the biggest mistake was, and that's where that audio comes into play, is at several times during the course of the conversation, he basically said, I will F you up,
mm-hmm.
and I promise you, I am not joking, I will F you up, and your wife too. And that's where I think he overstepped the bounds. But other than that, he got into it because of the fact that in Utah, and I've told you guys on this show before, there's a reason why we say the vile, hated Utah Jazz and their fans, because
they're awful people.
They may go to church on Sundays, but the 6.5 other days of the week, they are brutal to everybody but Utah Jazz in that building.
They're just awful, awful people.
It's a struggle, man.
Look, if you had six wives, though, you'd be pretty angry most of the time.
Would you? Or would you be pretty much taken care of because you could just pick and choose whichever one's best at the situation?
You'd have six people being mad at you. Six trashes to take out, six chores to do. No. You'd be mad.
Six options at...
Well,
okay. One's getting nosebleed tickets, the other's getting courtside. I mean, it's...
No, none of them are going.
None of them are courtside?
No, that's why they're so angry, because they're away from
them. The main squeeze gets like mid-level tickets, and then... The side piece.
Don't you guys get me started on that part of it, because I can tell you too exactly how the planning and thought process goes.
Share it.
And
share
certain
it.
Things.
I want to know. I want to live.
Yeah,
I want to know. So what do NBA players do?
Well, I'm just talking about people that live in Utah. I'm not talking about players. I'm just talking
we'll
about
get to that. Okay,
people
we
with
can
six
get
wives.
To that, and I can kind of fill you guys in. But so here's the deal.
Living life.
Russ gets into it with the couple. He probably says some things I think that he should have regretted saying, but evidently based on that audio, he said he would say them again. And then further investigation goes to get the fan side of the story. The fan, of course, is saying, oh, no, it was started out really like fun and playful banter between the two of us. And then he seemed to get a little agitated. And then, you know, I basically said, you know, referred to his ice bags. And then he told me it was heat on his knees. And I said he'd need them, because what Westbrook said he said was something to the effect of, you need to get back on your knees.
No.
Yeah, here's what he said about it.
Okay.
Young man and his wife in the stands told me to get in on my knees like he used to. And for me, that's just completely disrespectful to me. I think it's racial. I think it's just inappropriate in a sense of...
So
get down on your knees like you're used to.
And that's racial?
Or like you used to. See, that's the thing that I don't know. That part I'm not sure of. I'm not sure what was implied by that. I don't... to me... That speaks more about suggesting that Russell Westbrook.
That's right, Tevin Campbell.
Is, how to put this cleanly, is out there orally pleasing other men.
I was going to say, Lance
that's
and
how
John
you would say,
just went to the S and the D card.
Yeah, so, but when you tell a dude to get back on his knees, to me that implies that he S is D.
Right. That's why I don't think it's racial. It's just incredibly
But you don't know
disrespectful.
That. I mean, you can't be sure of that. There might be something that you and I and Joel aren't aware of.
Like there might be some context or some...
Yeah. There might be something that we just aren't sensitive enough to be aware of.
And so Raymond Felton, Patrick Patterson, the ex-Rocket, who are our teammates of Westbrook's, came out after the game with tweets that basically said, look, we can validate what Russ is talking about. This guy said a whole lot, including that and more. And then on the flip side, the guy's name is Shane Kiesel, all right? The guy who's involved with his wife with this altercation with Westbrook. They interview him after the game, and on the news, squeaky clean, just like started out fun.
And like he didn't do nothing.
Didn't really put a lot of thought into it, because now people got his name, and they start doing a little digging. And the more digging they did, the more dirt they found. So basically, they dug him his own grave. Because when you look at some of the things that, and Dwayne Wade and others got a hold of it and started retweeting this, he's dropped N-bombs, he has made some really insensitive comments, and oh, by the way, a lot of his tweets leading up to the game last night were directed at Westbrook and his dislike for him, and someone should kick his A, a whole bunch of stuff that has put this guy in a different light. So at first you say... The fans need to be protected. He probably didn't say any of this stuff, and this is just one of those deals. Then even if you want to take that angle, when you see this guy's background and his history with Westbrook and the language he uses, you're like...
That dude's guilty.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you see the tweets, you're like, yeah,
because it's,
he's
when it's
not in, so innocent.
And when it's in public, it's kind of harder to lie about it. I mean, it may be easier for him to lie, but everybody around you is going to say, no, I was there.
Yeah.
And it didn't go down like that. So,
I mean, come on. But this is the place that I was looking at, like, what's the history of Utah Jazz fans? And this is awful. In this article that is on Ebony, which mm-hmm, is, I guess, the one you had
one
given
of two
us,
of that I put up there, yeah.
I didn't read it. I was reading it at the break. And this is all. This will tell you everything you need to know. This is why the Jazz should just be disbanded as a team. And just the league should be without a team in Utah. Because in 2007, Derek Fisher revealed that his daughter had been diagnosed with a rare eye cancer. During a 2008 game in Salt Lake City, one Jazz fan covered his eye and screamed obscenities while the Lakers point guard attempted a free throw. Then Jazz fans reportedly yelled, "Cancer!" every time Fisher touched the ball. Wow. Through the game. Horrible people.
If I was in the stands, I would literally yell at other Rockets fans and tell them to shut up.
I would too. Like,
I would literally stand up and say, all you guys are idiots.
To Barry's point on this topic, what people forget is Derek Fisher was with the Jazz. Derek Fisher pointed out that his daughter had this rare cancer and needed better treatment and more medical facilities. That's why he facilitated a trade out of Utah, ended up going back, I believe, to the Lakers. But because the Jazz fans were scorned, and one of their players that could have helped them was gone, this is the way. This is the angle they take. While the guy's on the floor, they're yelling things like that.
Yeah, they're absolutely ridiculous. And to be fair, because he did say he would do it again, just to be fair and balanced to Russell Westbrook, this is what he said about, you know, ever threatening a woman or ever putting his hands on a woman.
As for beating up his wife, I've never put my hand on a woman. I never will. Never been in any domestic violence before, never had before. But once he said the comment, his wife repeated it, the same thing to me as well. So that's kind of how that started. I know you guys only got the tail end of the video, but the start of the video is way more important and way more disrespectful than what you guys heard.
The reason why I think that's so important is, according to Westbrook, not only did he say the S-A-D comment, his wife said it too.
Yeah.
And, dude, that would make me go crazy. I'm sorry.
Which wife? All right.
I mean, because here's the thing, Nick, you're right, because that has to be prefaced in there because of the fact that he came out in his first initial reaction when they were talking to him after the game. He said, I would say it all again.
Yeah.
And that's where someone from his PR department or otherwise should go, look, let's specify a little bit more. You would say it at the guy, but let's not direct it. Even if she said that, you don't want to say you're going to F any female up.
No, you can't do that, especially in a public.
Because they'll just catch that part.
Right.
And then they're going to publish it.
That's the only thing.
You're going to have to depend on everybody else around to kind of justify your story.
Like, although in the heat of the moment and when you're just saying words, people say things that they don't mean. People say things they regret.
Sure.
People say things that they would never act upon. But then if you're going to use that excuse, then well, obviously you don't really S-A-D like the fan said. So why are you so upset?
I always wondered because the way the Rockets do it too, like after the game, they never speak to the media right away. They go take a shower and then they speak to the media. And I always thought that might be like
you
a buffer.
It absolutely what? Is.
A buffer to
you think
keep,
so?
To get them. I always wondered if that's a buffer to keep cool players down. Cool down a little
Could
bit.
Be.
It's called the cool down period for a reason.
Because
what happens is they go from the floor.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
And they actually wait for whoever has to do post game interviews if the players are needed. Then the coach addresses the team briefly. And then there's the cool down period where the guys have a certain amount of time where they can either begin to get ready to take a shower or just sit in their chairs at their lockers and decide to kind of decompress. And then at a certain point, the locker room becomes open. The guys either shower right away or get treatment. And then as the media sees fit, they can get access to the players. But that's absolutely called the cool down period for a reason.
Yeah, I figured that's what it is. Because there's so many times where you know the player knows what he's about to expect in terms of questions and he doesn't want to be there.
Plus, it gives the PR department a chance to grab the player and go, look, you're going to get bombarded with this question. Here's my suggestions on how to handle it. It's up to you, but this is how I would suggest you handle
it. I will say this about Russ, and you got to his credit, and Charlie mentioned this when I was driving in listening to him, but to his credit, he doesn't run from any of this stuff.
Nope.
Russ is one of the best in the NBA about owning whatever it is that's happened involving him, and he's right there out front because a lot of guys... I mean, look at Draymond Green was nowhere to be seen after his coach said, I'm sick of his crap.
Look, there were
Russ just threatened a dude and a chick, and he's out in front of the media going, yep, I said it, and I'll do it again. And this is out of hand, and it needs to be dealt with by the league. Props to him for that. I'm not suggesting.
You're right, because for a lot less, James Harden hit that back door in the locker room a few times.
Yeah, he did.
So you're right. He owns up to it. When we talked about guys that would step on your throat and had that killer instinct, it's also the fact that he doesn't back down from anything. Look, and I'll give him this too. In a lot of cases, when your back's turned and someone courtside hits you and grabs you, like the other night with that kid, first reaction from a player is swing first, ask questions later.
And he
handled that pretty well, too. So,
got a text that says, who's worse, Utah fans or Brad from yesterday?
Well, don't sell Hunter short.
Yeah. Utah is known to be pretty racist and or cruel with their trash talking. They are just as bad as Boston. Boston or Philly or both?
I would say Boston is way more worse.
Yeah.
At least, in terms of racism.
Even Jerome Solomon, who's filled in on the show before, has said he was in Boston, and it's awful, the racism.
I told you I had friends in Fenway that were African-American that were just absolutely jaw-droppingly shocked by what was being said.
Really?
Yeah. So we'll continue to roll on. We're at the midway point of the show, so second half still in front of us. As we continue to roll, if there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, give us a ring, hit us up on Twitter or text. Back with more. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
I just think that there's got to be something done. There's got to be some consequences for those type of people that come to the game just to say and do whatever they want to say.
That was more of Russell Westbrook post-game last night after the altercation in Salt Lake City. I've told you guys this before, and I've told you on several occasions, they are a different breed of nasty at Salt Lake City. And I said that for everybody that talks about the black hole in Oakland and the Raiders and how vile that can be, it isn't even close to what can happen in Salt Lake City with the Jazz fans. So with everything that we were talking about going through with this, Charles Barkley has gone 18 rows deep. Vernon Maxwell has had to deal with a ton. I've lived through the incident with Vernon Maxwell in Portland and was there in living color. And I've been in seen several altercations in person with the Rockets in Salt Lake City. And Russ has a point. You don't have a sport anywhere else where you're this close the entire contest to the people participating. Because literally what the kid showed you the other night is, with everybody trying to make as much money as possible, and the big thing is always put your feet on the wood to be courtside. You are so close. There was an incident in a soccer game the other night where somewhere overseas, the guy runs out onto the field and sucker punches from behind a guy that had just either scored a goal in a major soccer match. And the guy got 14 months, I think, in prison.
Yeah.
But other than that, where you have to get through lines of security and you climb over a fence, in the NBA, there are no barriers. Both audio-wise and physically, there's nothing stopping fans on the court. They're lucky so far something more severe hasn't happened because security can't contain every single person on that entire rectangle around that court.
Outnumbered.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is interesting. I don't know what you do about it because you can't regulate what a fan, if they pay for their ticket, you can't be like, all right, so you can say these things, but you can't say these. You can't regulate that.
See, there has to be boundaries, though.
There does have to be boundaries, but how? I mean, are you going to put up plexiglass like it's NHL?
Not necessarily.
And now the seats are worse?
Physical boundaries? But look, everybody, and someone made a great point. If you're not willing to say something to that player, if you saw them walking down the street in street clothes, and risk those ramifications. Mm-hmm. Don't dare say it at a sporting event just because you have special access to be close enough. Because remember now, there was the lawyer in Washington forever in D.C. that was a very highly regarded, respected lawyer. But his whole deal was, I believe his name was Robin Ficker. His whole deal was he sat right behind the bench of the visiting team. He did so much research on every player that his whole deal was, I'm not only getting under your skin, I'm digging deep and I'm going to affect you.
I thought that was in Utah, but that was
no, it was in Washington, D.C.
Interesting.
And so that was just the one guy that got fame and notoriety for it. But again, with that comes copycats.
Yep.
So once he started it, everybody wanted to get in on the deal. And then it was like, oh, there's so-and-so, the dude that loves to give it to the other team. Now, the players appreciate it when it's just good-natured ribbing and it's kind of funny.
Mm-hmm.
But when you cross that line...
Yeah, when you start talking about people's wives and kids and family and you know, being racial.
Vernon went into the stands in Portland because of the fact that a guy referenced his stillborn child.
Yeah, see, that's just unbelievable that you would say, I'm all for, yo, you suck.
Right.
Yo, you suck. Like, we get that.
Yeah.
But you know, in a setting like that, you know that people are going to yell things. Yo, you suck. You're a terrible. You can't make a free throw. Whatever. But to start talking about somebody's family and being racially insensitive and stuff, you also have to, as fans, police yourselves.
Well, I was going to say, here's my question for you guys. Where do you draw the line? Because you could be the most rabid, passionate fan for your team. But at some point, if you hear a guy saying something like this, at the end of the day, if you're questioned or if people are out there going, what actually happened? I'm the first guy, I'm going to stand up and say, look, I know that we're all fans of the Rockets, but that dude right there.
Yeah, he went too far.
He crossed the line.
Here's what's crazy is, you know, I've been known, I'm prone to do it in the past where I'll say something to somebody in public that's acting a fool. And
the Selena Cubs.
Yeah. And so you can do that, but you have to keep in mind that if you do that at a sporting event where there's alcohol and people are probably acting a fool partially because of the alcohol, things are going to escalate between you and that person also. There's a big chance of that. So I think one of the things you have to do, the responsible adult, which I don't have any of that in me, but the responsible adult would say, I'm going to go get an usher. And I'm going to tell usher, hey, you need to throw this person out because he's saying things to the players that are racially insensitive. He's talking about his family. It's disturbing us. It's, you know, you got to do something like that. Because if you're just like, yo, hey, shut your mouth. Stop talking to him like that. Now you're probably going to have to fight that guy.
Now, I heard the guys this morning say, look, a lot of these people that are wearing the security outfits are elderly people that don't want any part of anything like that.
No, they don't.
They're gonna stay away. But that's why the security directors have to make sure the people around the court in those very high potential risk areas have to be people capable of handling a situation like this. But here's the other thing I'm going to throw out there that no one's really touched on that I've heard talk about this subject. Each team now has a director of team security, and most of the top players have their own security guards as well. For instance, the Rockets have a director of team security. They also have specific security guys for James Harden and Chris Paul.
Really?
So you've got three guys right there that are sitting courtside, that are aware of everything going on.
Like, that's their whole job is to watch them.
Their whole job. Now, Charles's ex, it's still his security guy, but TNT has actually employed him as well. He's an ex-cop. He's a specialist. He used to train us because we used to ask questions when we were all together going, out of the corner of your eye, watch the guy in the blue suit with the yellow tie. He's done two different things. He'd tell us what they were.
Oh, wow.
And then we served as like backup for him to look and be just so that we could protect anything from happening. But they're so trained. You know that being that close, they know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Because you talk about with Chris Paul and his brother also, which happened when his brother was temporarily ejected. He was in Utah.
Yeah.
The security people knew exactly what was going on.
Oh, really?
Because of the fact that they had to inform him, hey, look, don't throw that guy out. He's not just Joe Fan sitting courtside in Utah. That's Chris's brother.
Yeah.
So I think team security has to get involved as well.
Somebody wanted to know, is there any chance that the Jazz and the Thunder meet in the playoffs?
Yep.
I mean, there's a decent chance because everybody's so close together there, 5 through 8. I mean, 6, 7, and 8 all have the same amount of losses at 29. The Clippers are half a game up on the Spurs and a full game up on the Jazz at 8. So, yeah, and the Thunder are at 4 right now. Thunder would be playing the Blazers, but if something happens, the Thunder catch the Rockets or the Rockets falter, Thunder go to 3. Yeah, the Jazz could end up at 6, and they absolutely could be playing each other.
And they played each other last year, if you recall, in the 4-5 matchup. So the fact of the matter is that when you look at that and you think about that, that probably created some of the history as well of Russ and the animosity, having to play a 7-game series in Salt Lake City as fresh as a year ago.
Yeah, for sure. We've got some breaking news.
Uh-oh.
You ready?
I am.
Texans have signed Bradley Roby, cornerback.
From the Eagles, right?
Yep. 10 mil. I don't see how many years. How many years did we
say? 1 year, 10 mil. That's
okay,
my bad.
So they signed him to a 1 year, 10 mil. Got it. Hey.
So kind of prove it, play it, but he got good money for it, and there's one of your answers in the secondary for the Texans.
Yeah.
Look, that's one of the guys that we had on our list of guys that they should pay attention to. As guys that could be a potential replacement for Jackson and Johnson and all the guys that they've lost and Kareem. So we'll see.
I didn't know he was a former first-round pick for the Broncos, but that's pretty impressive.
Yeah. And we had said early on, a week or so ago, that he might be one of the – him and Callahan would be two of the guys they should look at. So
yep.
Hopefully that'll help. You want to get Clarence out of the way before we hit the break?
Let's do that. Clarence, what's up, man?
What up, guys?
What's up, man?
See, I was good with what Westbrook did last night until he threatened the guy's wife. But here's the real thing. This is not the first time this happened with Westbrook and the Utah fans. Why isn't the team not having some guy, some security personnel like y'all were talking about, control this to prevent this from happening with Westbrook? Why is somebody telling him, look, we're going back to Utah. You know what they're going to see. You know they're going to try to get under your skin like last time. Let's just play the game and get out of there. And it's funny because I heard something this morning where Doris Burke said there's three players in the league that they know you can get under their skin. Draymond being one, Westbrook being the other, and Cousins being the third.
Yep.
So it is really crazy to me that after all this time, especially after the malice of the family, that you can't give the security around the basketball court more authority to the proper authority, like, okay, look, watch this guy, he says some stuff, we're going to, he says something, yeah, he get out of line, we're going to just ban him, throw him out. Like, in New York, the guy didn't see nothing that bad, but the owner wants him gone and banned from the arena. But if it gets to that level, something like that should be done. What do you guys think?
Appreciate the call, Clarence.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. What I was talking about. And you watch some of the video of his past history. There are times when Russ is leaving the court and the fans are doing what they were trying to grab at him and stuff like that. Russ's first line of defense was he smacked their team security guy going, where are you, bro? Get on this guy. And the other thing is, like, the Rockets director of team security is Bryant Savage, and he's very savvy on these things. He'll go and meet with the arena security people prior to the game and say, look, either there's a history here, or we know there's fans here, or we've heard that they're coming at our guys here. You guys need to be prepared for this because the league's not going to tolerate this, and we need to be proactive to this. So that's on the Thunder security people and the Jazz people in the building. I don't know what – we don't know the dialogue and if there was conversation there. But if it's done right, the director of team security should have already pre-planned for the fact that there's been a past history.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I think, though, I mean, to a certain extent, how much is security going to be able to do anything – when racial slurs and disrespect, like, hey, you should get back on your knees, is being thrown out. Like, is security really going to I'm going to tell you what. Like, if you start saying comments like that to me and I'm a basketball player, I don't care if the security goes and addresses that. I might still be mad enough and angry enough with you to say something. And I don't think security – even if security hops on that right away, like, they pounce on it, like, right away – When you hear comments like that as an athlete, I'm not sure that's going to help you calm down.
But the biggest thing is
you're going to want to say something back.
You know what's going to make you feel better, Nick? If they ejected him. If right in front of you, they heard it and said...
I would agree with that.
You watched them get escorted out, like Westbrook likes to wave bye. Like, if the player gets the satisfaction of knowing your mouth just cost you the rest of this game and or maybe more, then they'd feel better about what had happened.
Spicy, can y'all buy Clarence a new phone?
Yeah, that was
at the end, the last, like, 20 seconds, he like, went into a summary.
And then somebody said, the Texans are signing Bradley Roby. Did we just switch players, Kareem, for Roby? Pretty much. And I think who you were thinking about when we said that was a name was Ronald Darby.
Oh, that's Darby, right?
Yeah, Bradley Roby, not the same guy. You switched, but you didn't get better. Now,
I was going to ask you, did you spot track it?
Yeah, no. It's The 1 year, $10 million is fine, and that'll certainly boost your chances of getting a better compensatory pick in 2020.
Yeah.
In the 2020 draft, because of the difference with what Kareem signed and what you signed Roby to for that 1 year deal at $10 million. But you basically, now with the signing of Gibson and Roby, losing Tyrann Mathieu and Kareem Jackson, you just got a lot worse in the secondary. Mm. A lot worse.
Yeah, so, you're right. Because
yeah, I wanted to pull up some stats and info on Roby. I mean, he did start for the first time. He had 15 starts, which was the most that he had had since being in Denver. He played 16 games every year, but he never started much, two or three a year. He started in 15 last year out of necessity, I think. But I think you're getting a guy that's just average at best at corner.
I was thinking Darby, not Roby.
No, yeah.
And Darby's out there still, right?
He is still available, according to the sources I'm looking at.
But if Roby got 10, what's Darby going to get?
A lot more.
A lot more.
Way more.
And there goes your cap.
And a multi-year deal,
no doubt about it. All right, we'll continue to roll on. If there's things you want to chime in on, let us know. 713-780-3776. Don't forget, got a whiskey social coming up that we're going to give you away some tickets to as well. So stay tuned for that and a whole lot more. How about that? Discussion and dialogue. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back! Final segment of hour number two, 3 hour show, so still plenty of show to go, and we appreciate you taking us along for the ride wherever you are in the big city. Want to remind you, as we've been telling you and teasing you, we have a Houston Whiskey Social coming up, and ESPN 97.5 wants to send you and a guest to the Whiskey Social. It's the largest annual whiskey tasting in Texas, Nicholas, featuring 400-plus whiskeys and spirits from around the world and fine food. And it all comes to fruition on March the 30th at the Citadel Houston. We are going to give away a pair of tickets right now, which includes admission, gourmet hors d'oeuvres, a wide range of whiskey tastings from around the world, and a tasting glass you get to keep. If you don't win the tickets, you can visit HoustonWhiskeySocial.com for more information. But right now, we're going to give away two tickets, 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN, two, caller, number?
78, just kidding, I don't know.
Let's go with
10.
17.
Okay.
Caller 17, 713-780-3776, you win two tickets to the Houston Whiskey Social.
Nice. How about that? That's pretty good. By the way, I just confirmed you and I, not Nick, mm-hmm. just you and I will have Chick-fil-A delivered at 1 p.m. tomorrow.
Oh, wow. Outstanding.
There's going to be some food thieving going on tomorrow if I don't get some of them.
Door is locked.
Yeah, that's what right.
Wednesday means way back in there is where you're going
to
be standing.
So you expect me to come up with a way back Wednesday theme and not get Chick-fil-A
tomorrow. You put it on Barry.
Yeah, I'm definitely not coming up with a theme if I don't get no damn chicken.
Oh, so in other words, business as usual.
Yeah.
Just you're not coming up with a theme.
Whatever, man. I come up with songs. I come up with themes.
Uh-huh.
I do my part.
Uh-huh. Get pity votes. I get it.
No,
totally
you just
get
lose.
It. Yeah. So shout out to the Chick-fil-A at 610 and Shepherd for coming through in the clutch.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Bringing us some scrumdiddly-umptious food for you to try for the first time. If you missed it on Monday, Joel said he's never in his life had Chick-fil-A.
At least I'm honest.
That is true. I mean, I'm glad you were honest because I'm glad that we're going to get to share this experience and you get to try it on air. I told him, be here at 1 o'clock, bring the food. We want to eat it on air. I want you to have your first bites of the spicy chicken sandwich, the regular chicken sandwich. I'm going to have to tell him what to bring because
okay.
I have a specific menu in mind that I want you to sample all of it and see what you think.
I get to pop my Chick-fil-A.
He's acting like this is all for you to try. He's picking all the food for him.
If they don't bring me a black card, though, I'm going to be so upset.
Don't tell people what that is. Just leave that out of the equation. Keep it on the low.
I just want one so bad. Do you realize?
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to steal, that black card.
Bitch, I will fight you.
I will fight you, too.
I will fight you and your wife.
Okay. Easy, Salt Lake City fans.
By the way, I started digging into Bradley Roby's career and whatnot and where he ranks and all those things.
Yeah.
And I'm getting conflicting information. Not a guy that jumps out at you like, oh, man, this is a must get, right? Pro Football Focus grades him over the last 3 years at just under a 70, which is about average.
Okay.
He graded out last year at a 59. Mm. That's not good.
That would mean below average.
Yeah. He on SpotTrack, though, it was interesting because on SpotTrack, they have him rated at about 10 mil a year. 11.5, actually. Excuse me. 11.5 a year.
Jeez.
For an average cornerback? I mean, to give you an idea, they have some other folks listed here. Now, they said he should have got, market value-wise, a five-year $57.8 million deal.
Okay.
That would put him close to guys like A.J. Bouye, Desmond Trufant, and their deals that they got over 5 years. I don't think that Bradley Roby is an A.J. Bouye type of guy.
I
was going to
say, if I give you a choice, multiple choice, and I say you either get Trufant, Bouye, or Roby. How many people are taking Roby?
I'll pay the two extra mil a year with the room that I have, yeah. But again, this might be one of those things where they're plugging some holes and I don't know. Maybe
here's
Bradley
the,
Roby.
The other good thing.
Maybe I'm not giving him enough credit. I'll be honest with you. I don't know a ton about the guy, but it just seems like there were a lot better options. I know for a fact there were a lot better options at corner available to go and get.
For the stats you just gave,
mm-hmm.
right? And the fact that from 1 year to the next, there was quite a discrepancy. The good news about this deal is it's a show-me, prove-me contract. It's 1 year to prove that you are either the guy that was 2 years ago really, really good and rating in the 70s, or you were a guy that was better rated in the 50s,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So at least you're not on the hook for multiple years at $10 million a year, and you can see what you got after a year.
So, I mean, in a way, it harkens back to what they did with Tyrann Mathieu, where he was injured. He hadn't bounced back to the highs that he had reached before some of the injuries. And so it was a 1 year, let's try it thing. I just don't know, man. Like, there are guys out there that are available that I think you could have got.
That's why, and we were trying to get you guys the news as quick as possible, and I read it quickly.
And at free safety.
I thought it was Darby.
Yeah, which would have been great. I mean, he's still out there. He still shows as available on my list. And why you wouldn't have gone after a Ronald Darby, I don't know. Bryce Callahan's out there. Do you know what SpotTrack has Bryce Callahan's yearly market value as? 6.3.
Well, if you get him in that range.
Dude.
And I told you, he may give you a hometown discount. He went to high school here. He went to Rice. If there's a guy out there, and like you said, and a little time has passed, and he's worried about where he's going to be and what he's going to do, well, there's no better place than there's no place like home. Let's go home, play for the Texans, and maybe it's a short-term deal again.
Bryce Callahan was the 7th-rated cornerback in football last year,
according
to Pro Football Focus.
What people think of you, Brian Gain, you go get him.
At 6 mil? I would do that in a heartbeat.
Even at 8 or 9, he's probably the guy ranking that high. He's probably a guy that could save face for you a little bit.
Yeah, that's crazy.
No doubt about it.
What'd you say I had? I'm sorry, Nick. I was talking. Vortex? Oh, gosh. This is a great time to tell you guys about Vortex. You know why? We're running out of time. I mean, you guys, this is way out week for the Usual Suspects Weight Loss Challenge. And you've got today through Friday at 5 p.m. to shed as many pounds as you can. Now, I've been on the Facebook page, and I've seen where some guys are losing a significant amount of weight. 11% of the body weight has been lost already. So you still have time, though. Get out to Vortex. 1707 West Gray is where they're located. They've got boxing classes, and they've got spin classes. And those classes are going to burn a tremendous amount of calories in just 45 minutes. It's a great full-body workout. The athletes that are training you are outstanding. I've taken many a classes from Trey. I know he knows this stuff. And I know that when you work out there, you're going to sweat. You're going to work out. They're not going to let you quit. They're not going to let you get tired. I mean, they're going to force you to where you like throw up, but that wouldn't be such a terrible thing. But it's going to be a great workout, man. You're going to stay motivated. They got the lights going on, the music going on. There's people around you that keep you motivated. And right now they've got a great deal. For $40, you get unlimited walk-in classes for 1 week. $40, unlimited classes. That means you could go today after work. You could go tomorrow morning, tomorrow afternoon, tomorrow the next day. You could do 2-3 classes a day if you wanted to and get those extra pounds dropped off so that you have a chance at winning some of those great prizes in the Usual Suspects Weight Loss Challenge. And you don't need gear, so don't worry about it. Sign up for the $40 unlimited classes. You don't even need to take gloves. They've got gloves. They've got wraps. They've got the shoes for the spin classes. Everything is there, and they've got a great smoothie bar. So when you're done with that 45-minute workout, grab your smoothie. You're on your way back to work or home right afterwards. Not a lot of time spent out of your day. I love Vortex. I think you're going to love working out there. For more information, you can call them at 281-501-3094. It's 281-501-3094 or online at vortextexas.com.
ESPN 97.5.